This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, our next story is about football. As you know, Caroline and I are experts on the subject matter.
That's right.
Well, actually, it's about Tun Mahathir and how he has said that he has no issue with Malaysia's football team hiring naturalised foreign players. It's a common practice all over the world. Plenty of football teams take players from other countries, and this is why we see a lot of Westerners who are dark-skinned.
Oh, so he says. So a couple of weeks ago, this very issue, actually, of foreign-looking players blew up, right? Right after the World Cup when France won, and if you caught France in action this year, you might have noticed that most of the players were of African origin or descent. So late night talk show host Trevor Noah, he actually did a segment on it on his show, that's The Daily Show, in which he made a joke, right? He congratulated Africa for having won the World Cup.
Right.
Now, in response to that, he received an official letter from the French embassy in the US, which he partially read out and responded to. Now, here is some audio from that show.
I heard your words about an African victory. Nothing could be less true. Now, first of all, I think it could have been less. I could have said they were Scandinavian. That would have been less true. That would have been less true. He says, as many of the players have already stated themselves, their parents may have come from another country, but the great majority of them, all but 2 out of 23, were born in France. Now, my opinion is, coming from South Africa, coming from Africa, and even watching the World Cup in the United States of America, black people all over the world were celebrating the Africanness of the French players, right? Not in a negative way, but rather in a positive way, going, look at these Africans who can become French. You know what I mean? It's a celebration of that achievement. And so this is what I find weird in these arguments, is that people go, they're not African, they're French. Then I'm like, why can't they be both? What they're arguing here is, in order to be French, you have to erase everything that is African?
That was audio taken from The Daily Show featuring Trevor Noah with his response to the French embassy, who called him out for congratulating Africa on their World Cup victory.
So the reason, I guess, we're drawing parallels to that situation is because, of course, optics aside, it's ultimately a question of identity, right? How we identify with our homeland, how nation states view their citizens.
Yes.
So I guess in this instance, you have the French ambassador calling out Trevor Noah for legitimizing the ideology that whiteness is the only definition of being French. But I guess in this statement that Tun Mahathir has said, right, foreign players should not overshadow local players, I would say that some clarification is required because I'm not sure what that means entirely.
Yes. Okay. So just a little bit more in the French context. I guess the French have a very different experience with nationhood and identity than America, for sure. And also, Trevor Noah is South African, and also they have a very different experience with South Africa as well, right? So where Trevor Noah is coming from is with that American baggage, if you will. And I think that American baggage is very similar to that Malaysian baggage, because as you have seen over even the last few days, yet again with Lim Guan Eng coming out and going, oh, you know, I'm Malaysian, but I'm also Chinese. Mm-hmm. And there's always been this ongoing debate about how you identify yourself. Have you forgotten your cultural roots and where you came from? And that in contrast, of course, with the screams of, you know, Balik China and Balik India as well.
Yeah, that's right. So when it comes to naturalization in Malaysia, I mean, it's provided for in the constitution, right?
Yes.
You know, there are a whole bunch of requirements attached. I guess this is how nation state, or rather Malaysia, looks at a definition of who would be suitable for the naturalization process, among which you have, you know, resided for X amount of time in the country, good character, adequate knowledge of Bahasa Malaysia, recommendation from 2 Malaysians. However, I guess as it is with many other countries, because we're not unique in this respect, it tends to be a lot more complex as humanity is. And for Malaysia anyway, the actual practice feels somewhat arbitrary. I'm not necessarily sure that these requirements are followed to the T.
Why do you say arbitrary? Just because of how we used to do it in the past?
Well, no, but you know, when we talk about the process of citizenship and say stateless children, a problem that we've had here in Malaysia for the longest time,
yes,
it's
correct,
still yet to be resolved. You know, how then do you determine who and what what is Malaysian? Are these requirements necessarily it? Because if you're going to tick all these boxes, you know, there would be a lot of stateless children, I think, who would be citizens by now.
Oh, no, of course. And you're absolutely right. I think this will raise all kinds of interesting questions about what is currently going on with citizenship rights. I mean, you're talking about stateless children aside. There are, I want to say Malaysians, there are individuals who live in this country and who are, for all practical purposes, Malaysians, been here for many years and still don't have an IC, right?
Exactly.
And we saw that just before the election, the government, the last election, the Barisan National Government had given up a whole bunch of ICs to Indian people and been like, hey, look, we're helping you out. We're giving you, you know, what is rightfully yours to begin with, right?
So what does it mean when you say foreign players should not overshadow local players? I mean, you know, how exactly are we determining that? What does it mean to overshadow? I mean, is it a question of optics? Is it a question of skills? Because if they don't outshine, I guess, in the skills category, then what exactly are we bringing them in for?
No, but also there's the other question of, you know, what does it, you cannot have tiers of naturalization. You know what I mean? Once you've been naturalized, right? If you've been given that citizenship, then you should be afforded, we already have this problem of not, of every Malaysian not being afforded the same rights, of having a tiered system. Imagine another tier brought in for people who we've naturalized to be good at sport, right? I mean, that is, it's unfair, it's unjust, and it probably goes against what a, what being a citizen of a country means.
Yeah, and I mean, even if we do choose to go down that route, is it, is it football alone, and why should we be making the exception for football and football alone?
That's true. Maybe we want to have a really good basketball team, just naturalize a whole bunch of Americans.
Bobsled.
Bobsled. They could do it in Cool Runnings. If Jamaica could do it, why can't we, right? We're going to cross over now to sports journalist Harish Deol. He's also the editor at 2213. Thank you for joining us on the Evening Edition. What are the arguments across the board for and against naturalized players, Harish?
The same arguments that have been existent for the past 10, 20 years, 30 years, in fact. Those who came up from the old school, the elders, they believe that it's a shortcut to gaining success. They insist, why can't we grow our own players, mold our own talents? Why do we need foreigners coming in and being injected into the national squad? However, as you and I know, and as very, and many people out there know, football and sports in general has changed tremendously over the past decade or two with the sciences and with globalization. And a lot of big countries, big nations, Belgium, Germany, they all relied on, and still do rely on naturalized players or players of different origins, you know, France, Holland, to name a few. So do we follow their footsteps? Do we get into the game that way, or do we just, you know, be fixated with our local talent? Now here's the thing. While everyone, those who are adamant of having locals within the squad, they forget to realize that our league, the domestic league, we've got foreigners involved as well. So what happens is that the clubs and teams would purchase or would buy or would sign up foreign players to be part of the strike force, usually. And the local talents are always sidelined. So when you see the top scorers in the local league, it's always a foreigner. If not one or two, if not two or three of them would be foreigners within top five. So where does the, how can the locals ever be exposed to competitive football when even at the domestic level, they are being sidelined? So it's not a, an easy question like black or white or, you know, do we bring in, do we not bring in? It's not as easy as that. It's the whole ecosystem that we've got to consider. And this has been repeated year after year after year, that I'm beginning to sound like a broken record each time when someone asks me about this.
Okay, so, I mean, let's just try, I guess, to look at it from a more optimistic point of view. Harish, does bringing in a foreign player always equal to added value for a local team?
Look, it really depends on the subject or the person, the individual at the end of the day, regardless whether he's white, black, brown, purple, yellow, whatever. You know, at the end of the day, it's his capabilities, his character. Now, if you have someone who just has a foreign name and is born elsewhere and comes to Malaysia but does not have the character, does not have the quality, then it's of no use. So there will be no added value to answer your question. But if you have a local who is, you know, filled with passion, he's got good character, he's good skills, he's capable. Yeah, that's a marketable player, and that's like added value to not only himself, but to the sport itself. So it really depends on the individual.
All right, Harsh, earlier you mentioned that we already have naturalized foreign players in some of our local teams. From that experience, has there been evidence of a boost in the team's performance, or at the very least, a transfer of skills?
Look at our ranking today. That pretty much will answer your question. We've got so many foreigners coming in playing in the local league. The idea at that time to introduce these players in was to so-called beef up the play and to show how it's like playing against foreigners. But has this helped? Have our players learned a thing or two from them? It remains to be seen because we keep sliding down the ranks. Ranking is one thing. I'm talking about the FIFA ranking. But the performance on the pitch, the results, they are not convincing at all. So that pretty much sums up the quality of play, regardless whether you have a foreigner within your team or you know, you're playing alongside or you're playing against a foreigner. So in the domestic league, I mean. So yeah, it's not done anything. At the end of the day, it's us. It's within. You see, people are very quick to find a quick fix solution by getting someone from outside. But we have to look from within. Are we ready? Are we prepared to clock in the extra hours, to be perfect? The problem with many of us is that we are happy just being mediocre. You know, we celebrate being mediocre. You know, when someone does a job, we actually go like, you know, hey, good job. Hey, you are paid to do that job. You're paid to score goals. I don't understand this philosophy whereby in some instances, which is still practiced till today, whereby teams are actually awarded bonuses for winning matches. So what, they've been paid all this while to what, lose matches? So that they will get bonuses when they win matches? So it really baffles me, this kind of mindset. But it's so ingrained that, you know, it's become acceptable. It's part of the system, so to speak.
Okay, so considering the big grey area that is, I guess, citizenship, naturalisation here in Malaysia, is the payoff, you think, big enough to make exceptions for these foreign players?
Look, this is the same argument that is seen in Singapore as well. We don't have to look so far away. Just look at Singapore. They've got naturalized players. Where are they in the ranking? They are no better than us. In fact, the landscape in Malaysia and Singapore is the football landscape. I mean, it's so similar in so many ways at the national level, that is, with the national teams. So that it boils down to here you have an all-local lineup. And in Singapore, you have a combination of locals and naturalized players. Has it worked for both parties? Not really. Simply because we don't have the substance. We don't have the quality. So we're kind of missing the point. We think that, oh, just by injecting a few players, fine, if you get real quality players, players that can really up the game, but you've got to pay them top dollar. You've got to lure them with tax benefits and the whole works. It's not as easy as just, oh, I like you. Okay, come in, you know, and I'm going to give you a passport. Why do they want a Malaysian passport when they can get a US passport, which is so much more better? You see, so there must be a love factor. Why? Why should they come to Malaysia? So you have to give them a lot of benefit, combination, tax-free, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the whole work for them to come here. And do you think that they're really, the cream of the crop, will actually want to be part of the national team in Malaysia? Also, I think I have to draw reference to what the FA of Malaysia president had recently said during a press conference. Yeah, he said now that the idea of injecting naturalized players into the system or into the national team would not mean that the powers that be would have to forget about developing the sport at the grassroots. Now, that is a very important factor because some people may think that, since we have these players, we can just forget about everything else and just concentrate on them. That's wrong. We need to go back to the grassroots. Sorely lacking is development at the grassroots. We don't have a strong base, and that is why you're seeing the rot at the top.
Okay, Laharish, so let's just get down to the question at hand. Should we bring in naturalized players?
Should we bring in naturalized players? I insist once again, it is an option, but it is not the solution at this moment. The solution is by investing in the grassroots. Let's try that instead of, you know, spending big money on these foreigners whom we don't know whether they will work or not. You invest in grassroots, maybe you may get a good player, but maybe you may get a good official. You may get a good referee. You see, because they will be part of the whole ecosystem, the football ecosystem. But if you invest in a player, you're just investing in him and him alone. It doesn't guarantee that the other players, the locals, will actually learn a thing or two from this particular player. Mm.
Harish, thank you so much for your thoughts. That was Harish Deol, sports journalist and editor of 2213. We've got Victor on the line. Hey, Victor, thank you for holding. What are your thoughts about naturalizing players?
Good evening, Caroline and Uma.
Hi, what are your thoughts?
I don't want to talk about naturalization of football players.
Why? You don't want to? Why is that?
Can I talk about naturalization of car? Because
okay. All right.
Carry on.
In Malaysia boleh, everything is possible. I remember, I think more than 15 years ago, this Kia Carnival,
right,
which was sold at 150,000. It become naturalized and become this Nazaria.
That's right,
Suddenly it was sold at about 100,000, this 50,000 cheaper. Mm. So actually, we can do wonders. I mean, if we can do it to car, why not do it to human being? We want to be the best basketball playing nation.
Mm-hmm.
Just buy a NBA team. Mm. And for football, I think just buy those just retired footballers from Man United.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the whole team, I mean, ask them to come over, even though they are maybe
been put out to pasture.
Slightly over 30. Mm-hmm.
But they still might be better than what we have, lah.
Might.
Yeah, still good enough for Asian standards. So why not buy? If you cannot beat them, buy them up.
All right, Victor, thank you very much for your thoughts. We've got Jason on the line. Hey, Jason, thank you so much for holding. Naturalized football players, are you for or against?
First, I'd just like to clarify on, I think just now the sports journalist.
Yes.
Right? He commented on performance bonus for footballers.
Yes.
Mm. Right, I think that's a natural practice. I think even in the English Premier League, they have a win-win match bonus.
Mm.
I think you can look at it as incentive for people to win, whereby your basic pay is reduced, but right, top up but via incentive.
Right.
All right. Or with regards to naturalized footballers, right, I disagree with Victor. The first thing you have to realize is in football, there's a reason to support something. So there, even like badminton, right, you need to have some belonging to support them. So if there is no connection, then you shouldn't be supporting them. Yeah. So on the second thing is, when you want to naturalize, you have to define naturalization, right? If their fathers or mothers are Malaysian, then they are Malaysians. If they grew up in Malaysia, then yes, we should naturalize them. What we don't want is second-tier players. There's no link to Malaysians representing Malaysia. I think that's the one we don't want. Because what happens in the Middle East is some of these Qatari teams are just naturalizing all Brazilians possible, and then they represent Qatar, which is what we are trying to overcome.
Right, so it's important to you that these players, whoever they may be, identify with the country. You know, country comes first.
Yeah, sure. Obviously, you want to support something that you belong to. It's not the same. You cannot support Lee Chong Wei with the same passion if, let's say, he, you know, has no links to Malaysia.
Oh, that's interesting. Interesting. So do you think that if we had, a really stellar badminton football player, or whatever it may be, someone who is naturalised, perhaps not born of Malaysia, that he or she wouldn't receive the same kind of support if playing for the country?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, if he came to Malaysia at 10 years old, then that's fine. He grew up here, right? If he may not be here, but his dad, let's say, is Malaysian, but he never lived in this country, but he has links, then that's fine. But what we don't want is he has no links whatsoever beyond being able to play football.
Mm.
I mean, that's not quite right in that sense, because football is about, it's more about, I mean, sports is more about national pride and sense of belonging kind of stuff, more than it is about growing the economy or, you know, contributing to GDP and all those other stuff. So, you can say I'm old school in that sense.
Mm.
Well, thank you very much for your thoughts, Jason. We've got time for one more call. Here's Fabian. Fabian, thank you for holding. What are your thoughts on naturalization? Do you agree with Jason about how they must have at least some connection to Malaysia, la, not just a random person.
Hi, good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Okay, now I just wanted to say that anything that can improve the standard of football, whether it's nationalization or for foreign players or whatever, so long as we get the end result is that the standard of football is increased, then it benefits the country. And if you look at the Malaysian team, what is the ideal, how should I say, a Malaysian? You see people of different colors and different nationalities or races or whatever. But how do you define? I mean, a Malaysian team, you will have Chinese players, you will have Indian players, Malay players. We are already, a composure of all these nationalities. Putting another, let's say, a black African or a Caucasian won't make any difference to the Malaysian team. But all boils down to me is that you really increase the standard of football. But a lot of these comments, actually, they're leaving out. What we feel is getting a better player means you get a better team. Not necessarily. You have to have a right strategy. You have to have the right coach. You have to have the right coaching technique and strategies. That is paramount.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.